Good morning. My name's Kenny. I'm doing EMP. If we could turn to Exodus chapter 33, verse 12. So just I'm just following up on Pastor Nate on humility and just continuing to look at Moses. So Exodus chapter 33, starting at verse 12 to verse 15. Then Moses said to the Lord, See, you say to me, bring up this people, but you yourself have not let me know whom you will send with me. Moreover, you have said, I have known you by name, and you have also found favor in my sight. Now therefore, I pray you, if I have found favor in your sight, let me know your ways that I may know you, so that I may find favor in your sight. Consider too that this nation is your people. And he said, my presence shall go with you, and I will give you rest. Then he said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not lead us up from here. Let's pray. Father, Lord, we just give you, we come before you this morning because we just want to seek you out and draw near to you, Lord. I pray just over this devotion that you would give us revelation and insight that would help us to just draw near you. We just surrender this time to you. We invite Holy Spirit that you would just be magnified within us. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Sorry. So we've had, I think, five consecutive sermons now on what is humility. So I'm not going to define it for you because Pastor Nate did such a good job of summarizing it yesterday. But, so Moses, most humble person, right? So if you look at his life, it probably serves as a really good example of how he was so humble. So what I want to present to you is not what is humility, but the key to humility. And I just really have one point. So I think for most of us, we've experienced humility in our weakness, as in we have a need, and because we have a need, we go to God, we cry out to God in humility, saying, only you can, you know, provide. Only you can heal. Only you can help me in this. We really just, you know, have that. It's like a natural revelation because we know the extent of our abilities, right? And then, of course, God comes and provides. Moses was no different. The first time God tells him to go speak, he says, I can't do it, God. I can't do public speaking. Don't you know me? So, of course, God sends Aaron to help him. So we're the same. When we need something, we humble ourselves. God comes through. But on the flip side of humility in our weakness, the part that follows where having humility in our strength is actually really hard, for me anyway. The reality is when, you know, we've been crying out for a job or relationship or, you know, any of those needs, when God comes through and supernaturally provides job, relationship, it's hard to stay humble, right? God gives us that job we've always wanted, and we really put all our time and effort into that job, into that. And I don't know if that same humility of desperation for that job can maintain, right? Or in a relationship, we ask God, bring me, you know, a really good fellowship and friends. God, I'm really lonely. Or God, give me a wife or girlfriend or boyfriend, whatever. And before you know it, you know, when God provides that, we might not actually cry out to God so much, but we might cry out to the person that we're having that relationship with, that we find comfort in that boyfriend, girlfriend, rather than in God. So, yeah, staying humble in our strength is actually really hard, but, you know, don't feel so bad because same in Exodus, Moses, the Israelites, you know, they experienced some pretty crazy provision, right? Just a quick list. You know, God sent a pillar of cloud and fire to guide them. They walked through the Red Sea. The destruction of Pharaoh's army. The sweetening of water. Just supernatural manna falling from the sky and quails coming, right? So, you know, they were all in desperate need, right? They're hungry. They needed to. They were going to die if they didn't walk through basically a sea. So God came and provided. And how did they respond? They responded by building an idol, right? It's ridiculous. We think it's ridiculous, but we're no different, right? God provides us, and we begin to maybe not build an idol as clear-cut as them, but we begin to idolize things, right? Idolize our jobs, our relationships, etc. So a question I submit to everybody here. So how do we stay humble, right? There's Moses and the Israelites. They pretty much shared the exact same experience, right? Miracles, God's supernatural provision, yet their response was very different, right? The Israelites responded to God's blessing and provisions by building an idol. So how was Moses different? Like, how was Moses in the face of all the blessings where God, you know, gives you confidence? How was he able to stay humble? Or even for us, how is it that some people, they're so blessed, yet they're somehow still so humble? Doesn't matter, you know, how much money they make. Doesn't matter how popular they are. Somehow they're still so humble. How is that done? So it gives them. Does anyone have an answer? It's open. Don't be shy. Ask Janella. No, okay. So, you might look at Moses' relationship with God, which is correct. You might say relationship. Maybe you're thinking intimacy. They had a special intimacy because he did get to, you know, experience God in a very personal, intimate way. It was him who went, you know, up to meet God. It wasn't the people stayed down. But I think what's kind of unique, especially that's revealed in the passage we read, is Moses was really needy. Like, he was really needy. So if we're in a, if you're working with your, and you have, and your boss comes to you, Mark comes to you, and he says, Mark, can you do this, 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 this? Can you take care of this? What would your response be? Yeah, it'd be like, yes, sir, I got it. Don't worry about it, right? But what if you said, I'll do it, but only if you come with me and we do it together, he'll probably think, whoa, this guy is really needy, really like too high maintenance. Oh my gosh. Right? And that's exactly what Moses did, right? God gave him a mission, and he responds with, if your presence does not go with us, do not lead us up from here. He's saying, if you don't go, I don't go, right? So we need to be needy. We need to be needy for God. The problem is, this is really countercultural for most of us. For anyone who grew up Western culture, maybe Eastern too, but I'm not too sure, or any culture. But most of us were taught in the Western culture that we need to be independent, right? Our whole lives, we gotta be independent, right? We gotta take care of, be able to at least take care of ourselves. Even relationally, we're taught being codependent is very bad, right? I think it's just me, but it's just natural. You meet someone who's, you sense is really needy, and automatically you're like, whoa, like, that's not cool. That's not cool. Too needy. And so we've been raised our whole lives, even in this, in the Christian context, right? Like, we're in, if you've taken any sort of relational or premarital class, we're taught that codependence is bad, right? Kind of like this dependence on each other where unless we can do something, or I want, basically same response, right? So say EMP, right? Two couples, are you going to go to EMP? I don't know, I'll go if you go. If you don't go, I'm not going to go. So that's not good, right? So we're taught our whole lives to be independent. So how do we become needy to God, right? It's so, in some ways, counterintuitive, or it's just not in our genes to be needy for God. So I don't really have the answer to that, how to be needy for God. But I have one illustration that maybe will help us to recollect how to be needy for God again. So, first day of school. I don't know if any of you guys can remember that far, first day of school ever. So basically, or nursery. So first day you've ever been released from your home, right? I remember my first day, I was at a daycare or a nursery. You know, I went there, it looks really fun. And then there came the moment when basically my mom and dad had to leave the nursery. And then that moment, I don't know what happened in me, but I went crazy. I basically started crying. I felt this emotional, I guess, angst of like, basically, almost like I'm going to die, right? Like something's being ripped out. And I remember clawing on like, you know, walls and like doors, basically whatever I could grab to like bring me closer to my parents. That's what was going on, right? And I don't think as I'm doing that, I'm doing it out of like, oh, shoot, who's going to give me food? You know, or who's going to give me shelter? Who's going to give me nice clothes? Who am I going to, like, talk to? So I don't think those things crossed my mind as a child. I think I just had this, I mean, and it was accomplished through basically my relationship with my parents, but it was just, I was crying out because my parents were everything to me, right? Everything. Like, they are, I didn't have to process, okay, you do this, 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 therefore, you're my provider, you're everything. No, but just even in the emotional aspect, they were everything. So that's how I imagine as Moses cried out to God, how he was able to do that, right? It didn't matter, you know, even, okay, if for me, it didn't matter what kind of toys my parents gave, but, so I would, like, idolize the toys. It didn't matter, you know, if they gave me a video game system. Didn't matter. So I think in the same with Moses, it didn't really matter how God blessed him. Didn't matter the miracles that were revealed. In the end, he just had this genuinely needy relationship with God, right? And when it came to that time, he just cried out, God, you're my everything. So that's how he was able to stay humble in his strength. Because in the end, the things that God blessed him with, he always knew that that was not what was truly valuable to him. What was truly valuable to Moses was God. And he just had it in his deep down, not by I choose, but he just had it deep down in him that God was everything. So that's it. That's my one point. Moses was needy for God, not for people. So I definitely don't think it's healthy to be needy with other people, but it is healthy to be needy with God. So that's it. If we could have whoever's doing worship. And also, it was just an observation from the people I know. Like, those really needy people that we have in our life, right? Or needier personalities, I've just observed that they also have been able, for those who have been able to, I guess, transpose those needy personalities in their personal life to also a neediness in God, I come to realize that they really do have a special relationship with God, right? Even though I'm, even personally for me, when I'm relationally with them, it's hard for me to handle, but when I've prayed together with these people who are just needy for God, there's this special intimacy that they have. When they pray, it's not like you're listening to someone just recite blessings, but it really seems like they're speaking this like intimate interaction with God, right? So maybe some of you can relate with that. So as Eunice leads us in worship, let's just focus on the relationship we do have with God right now. Because neediness is it's more than just a choice in what you do, right? There's an emotional aspect that comes, and I think to get there we need to. It takes time. It takes investment in the relationship. So as we worship, let's try to be aware of the Holy Spirit in us. So Holy Spirit is so intimate with us. It's within us, so close. So we have this opportunity to just be so close as well. So Father, Lord, I just pray over everyone here, God. We just confess to you, God, that we need you. We want to need you. Even logical sense to need you, God, because we know that you're everything. But help us, Lord, to bring out just this raw and, you speak of just how you like us to be childlike. Help us to be childlike, just as a child needs their parents so much and they just know it just deep, God. I just pray, Lord, that you would, Holy Spirit, you would just help us to draw so close to you and have this desperate need for you, Lord. Let's just be needy children, and let's just take a moment for each of us individually. If there's anything that let's take this opportunity where we can be needy, and let's just cry out to God if you have any desires or if you just want more of Him. Let's not act it out, but let's be that neediness to God. And I think God, I mean, as a father, of course you would love as your child cries out to you and needs you. And I think it's also His joy to be able to provide in whatever capacity. So let's take just this time first before we do a group prayer to individually just cry out to God with whatever your need is. Let's cry out not simply with our words, but just with a genuine need. First slide. Let's also pray for our community. Let's pray for those with cancer, chemo, and also transplant. Let's pray for supernatural healing. But of course, let's pray for the presence of God that they would be aware of God's presence with them so that they could draw comfort and just have peace and feel the love so that that the love would just cast out any fear that they may experience. Pray. Next slide, please. Let's also pray for, besides the illness of healing, also salvation, that God would come to reveal to them himself, and that they would have also open hearts to receive the gospel. Next slide. Let's just pray for also just full healing of all these different things. Nothing's too big, nothing's too small for God to heal. So let's just pray in equal faith and need for these people. Next slide. Let's pray for those listed there for jobs, that they would continue to seek out God for provision. And in this time, that they would also draw near God for deeper revelation as well of their dependence and need on God. Let's pray for God to really open doors despite the circumstances. Maybe sooner than later. Let's pray. Let's go to our mission focus. Let's pray for China, SPBJ. They have an upcoming retreat as well. Their first one, I think, like SP, their theme will be connect. So let's pray that they would really be formed and connected in that time. Let's pray for the Chong family. Let's pray for Matt and Nate's parents. Let's pray for the Basarabas, Lian Cheng, who's also now in Beijing. Edie Clark, Chi-Chi Har kids and churches. Let's pray for the pastoral staff. PCM Song, he's in Israel. The Sims, Eugene and Carol, they're having their annual leave. Same with P. Sophia. If you could pray, and if P. Nate, me, Mon, Bonnie, Sarah, Janelle, we're all here. If you could pray for us, pray for unity. Pray for love for one another, and that we would just be guided by the Holy Spirit. Pray for the worship team and also the AV team, that's the sound and PowerPoint people. Let's pray for heart of worship as we serve, that we would not make it about works, but it would really be a response to God. We can also pray for the worship team as they're going on their worship team retreat this week. Let's pray for Koinonia. That they would grow in relationship even deeper with one another, especially the newer members. And, that they would just feel refreshed and have a revival in their hearts, and that they would just come back with a new fire. Finally, let's lift up the house churches today. Bonham, Kennedy, Kowloon, Lan Kwai Fong, Old Peak. Let's pray just for an encounter with you. It'd be more than just, you know, debating and talking, but would really about be edifying one another and drawing near to you. Let's pray that there be a desire for all the members to come, that he would lead everyone to come to house churches today for greater unity. Father, Lord, we just thank you for this morning, Lord, and just with the time that we have, for those who can continue to pray, I just pray that during this time that we could just feel so close to you and intimate with you as Moses did. And through that, Lord, I pray that we can just develop and grow a deeper need for you, Lord, a need that only you can really satisfy. And you've just, you know, proven in your faithfulness as well that we can be completely dependent on you, God. But help us to be dependent on you, not just through our logic or through our actions, but also it's just something that's so deep within us, God. A need for you, a desperation for you, Lord. And just be with us, just even throughout this day, and all that we would do, Lord. We would just honor you, God, that your presence we would be able to just sense the whole time, Lord. Just be with everyone today. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So please continue to spend time with God in worship, in prayer. I encourage you even just to just listen to what God has to say to you.